I don't know if I'll get through this message this morning or not. This is probably one of the more difficult ones. And let me just kind of start the message this way. We live in a very unique world today. I think everybody sitting in this auditorium would agree that we live in a very unique world. I mean, when you look around us today and you look at all the things that are taking place, I believe there's three areas that we find ourselves living in a unique world. Number one, unique in its technology. And I've got some more I'm going to say about that. It's unique in its morality. And then it's unique in its Christianity. And I think when you look at all three of those, and you look at where we are today, I think it's profound in the day that we live in. And let me just say this. The digital age today is affecting more than how America communicates. The technology is far-reaching, more than just the way we communicate. Because here's what it's also doing. It's also shaping the parent-child relationships that we find in our homes in striking new ways. Pew Research, Barna Research, Lifeway Research recently did some extensive research on how technology is affecting homes and families. And I'm going to just give you two of the major areas that are in each of these reports that I want you to think about this morning. Number one, parents are just as dependent on technology as our teens and tweens. How many of y'all would agree with that? It's okay. You can raise your hand, okay? I think when we look around the world today, we will see that parents are just as dependent on technology as our teens and tweens. Matter of fact, most people assume that teenagers are driving the technology gap in families. Here's what the research said. Yet the research points out that the gap is much smaller than most imagine. In reality, parents are using technology and media to nearly the same degree as their 11 to 17-year-olds. Here's the second thing that they found. Very few adults or youth take substantial breaks from technology. America's dependence on what some might call an addiction to digital technology is apparent in today's study and in its findings. And here's what they said. One out of three parents and nearly half of 11 to 17-year-olds say that there are not any specific times when they make the choice to disconnect from or turn off technology so they can have a break from it. And those who take such breaks tend to be driven by convenience rather than intentionality. In other words, you drop the phone in a bucket of water. And so you have to disconnect from it a little while before you can use it again. Digital devices, staying connected with the internet, all of those things. And matter of fact, when you look at the gamut today, when you look at the gamut of technology that we have, it's amazing today to me. Matter of fact, it's coming where you will no longer need to have a keyboard. Matter of fact, this technology is already there. Matter of fact, there are already those that are using it today in some avenues or some venues where they're testing it out. You will no longer need a keyboard at all. You will not even need a monitor on your desk. You'll be able to take a virtual plate and you'll be able to throw it right up onto a wall with a slide of your hand. You'll be able to do everything without ever having to punch a keyboard or a keypad at all. You'll speak to the devices and everything will take place by your speaking, not any longer by touching the keypads. What about airplanes? Matter of fact, they're working on an airplane right now. Matter of fact, it's in some of the research, and it's eventually coming, so you might as well just get ready that you'll be able to take off from New York, okay? And within just a matter of minutes, you'll be in Europe. In a matter of minutes. I mean, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. How many of y'all remember when airplanes, it'd take you 6 hours to fly from Mississippi to Alabama? You look at the technology today. How about automobiles? You know, you got automobiles now. You don't even need a key. You don't need a key to get in them. You don't need a key to crank them. It's the most amazing thing to me at all. You walk up and you hit a couple of buttons, or either you just touch the door handle. It senses your fingerprint. It will open the car door for you. You get in it, okay, and you don't even have to use a key to start it. That's the most amazing thing to me I've ever seen in my life, okay? And automobiles that talk to you. Now, I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all would get in an automobile today that will parallel park for you? You just take your hands off the steering wheel and just trust the automobile. How many of y'all would do? Anybody of y'all have one of those? Okay. It's amazing to me, okay? The technology that's there. So the world that we live in today is unique in its technology. But here's one of the things, though, I think we've lost sight of. Even though we have more technology, and we have the greatest technology in all of the world, and we see all of these things happening, we've got access to more knowledge today than we've ever had in the history of the world, and we're no better off. Matter of fact, things are getting progressively worse. God help us how a 12-year-old can walk into a middle school with a shotgun and shoot students. Where are we? What's going on? Why do we see? And I'm going to tell you that. And just when I think that things have calmed down, okay? Boom, another one happens. Boom, another one happens. Boom, another one happens. Boom, another one happens. Why? How can all of this be? So we find the world that we live in today with our homes. It's unique in technology, true. But here's something else. It's also unique in its view concerning morality. It beats all I've ever seen. I just sometimes have a difficult time with it. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But should we be surprised? Should we be shocked? You know, I got to the point in my life, to one period of time, I thought, you know, there's absolutely nothing that could shock me anymore. Oh, boy, just stay tuned, okay? Something's going to come along that will absolutely shock you. And I'm going to tell you something. There's an onslaught against those today that hold to conservative fundamental beliefs. Matter of fact, they said if you want to have those conservative fundamental beliefs, then you need to leave America because that's not what America is. Well, I beg to differ with them. That's not the way America was founded. I mean, that's where we are. But it's interesting that Peter had something to say about the last days, the days that we're in now. And parents and grandparents and ancestors. Let me ask you a question. Grandparents, how many of y'all have wondered if we were like that in the days that we were coming up, if our parents thought the same thing about us? Any of y'all? Huh? Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. I mean, 2 Timothy, excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Is that where everybody is? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I tell you, I'm going to have a difficult time with this. And I will tell you why. Because it's a burden on my heart. Okay? So Paul writing to Timothy, talking about the last days, I want you to notice what Paul tells Timothy. This know also that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. They're coming. They will come. Difficult days. Troubled days. All right? Look at verse number 2. So what are we going to find during these days? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. In other words, lovers of money. Lovers of things. Boasters. Proud. How about proud? Pride. And let me tell you what the Greek word here for arrogant actually means. I mean, for proud here means arrogant. Have you ever run into some arrogant folks? Huh? Blasphemous. Notice the next one. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. In other words, unloving. Just completely unloving. Truth breakers. False accusers. Malicious gossips. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. And Paul goes on. Look at verse number 4. Traitors. Petty. High-minded. lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In other words, reckless, conceited. Having a form of godliness, verse number 5, but denying the power thereof, from such turn what? Away. So let me tell you where we are today. Not only is it affecting our homes, it's affecting our churches. Because let me tell you what we're doing today. Here's the point that we are. We're allowing culture to define what they ought to look like. We're allowing culture today to define what we should be and what we should look like based upon what culture dictates. In other words, those things that are politically correct according to the way that it is seen, that it ought to be from a humanistic standpoint, that this is the way life ought to be. But folks, that's not the way it should be for us. At no time should we ever allow culture to dictate or drive what we do. What ought to drive what we do ought to come from the Word of God. That's what ought to drive what we do. What culture says and what the Word of God says ought to be put side by side and to look at them and see which one of them holds to the truth of the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the hard part to do. That's the hard part. You know, and I hear this all the time. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. There's no such thing today as absolute truth. Because what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's not true. I will tell you, there is such thing as absolute truth today, and it's contained in the Word of God. That's where absolute truth is found. For the home, for the family, for the church, all of those things are centered in the Word of God. That's where the standard is. That's where absolute truth is. And that's what's important. But here's what we've done. We've allowed culture today to... And here's what's happened. This right here ought to be at the very top. Everything else ought to be moving up toward this standard. But let me tell you what we've done. We've taken this standard and we've moved this standard down around here somewhere. And we wonder why things are getting progressively worse. Individual rights without any regard for morality or truth. How many of y'all watch Fox News, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, and all of those? How many of y'all had to quit watching? Okay. Every time you turn around, and you wonder sometimes, well, how in the world could things get any worse than what they are? Folks, listen to me. Just hold on. You haven't seen anything yet. You've not seen anything yet. Because as man continues on the path that we're on, things will get progressively worse. But then number 3. Not only is the world that we live in unique in its technology, not only is it unique in its view concerning morality, but it's also unique in Christianity. Say, Brother Robert, how in the world can that be? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33, because this is where I wanted to get to. Ezekiel chapter 33. And I know before anybody says anything, well, Brother Robert, what in the world does the Old Testament have to do with what we're talking about this morning? Well, I'm glad you asked that, okay? Just because it's in the Old Testament does not mean that it is relevant for where we are today. There are principles and truths contained in the Old Testament that ought to be put in place in our lives today where we are, especially in our homes, and this is one of them. And let me just share with you what's going on here. Chapter 33 deals with the fall of Jerusalem and the failure of Israel to heed the warning of the watchman. It's about the fall of Jerusalem, and listen to this, and their failure. And their failure to heed the warning of the watchman. Brother Robert, what do you mean by watchman? Someone who keeps watch. The one that sets in the tower. The one that's up on the wall. The one that is constantly watching for what's going around. And folks, listen to me. We need watchmen in our homes today. That's what we need. We need watchmen in our homes. to look at where we are, to look at all of those things that are taking place, to look at all of those things that are going on. And Lord, help us. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, okay? But I need it every single day. We all need wisdom and discernment with the world that we live in today. How many of y'all would agree that it's a difficult world that we live in today? And just trying to maneuver and to try to make our way through it. Sometimes we get into the house at night and we wonder, how in the world are we going to get through tomorrow in the difficulties? Ezekiel 33, verse number 1, I want you to notice as the prophet Ezekiel shares with us and as we see this account recorded here, again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the children of Israel, or speak to thy people, the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, He blow the trumpet and he warns the people. Verse 4. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he took not the warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. O thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. Say, Brother Robert, what in the world does that have to do with our homes? Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're a grandparent. I don't care if you're an aunt and uncle. I don't care if you're a single parent. It doesn't make any difference who you are. We need watchmen today that is sitting on the wall, that's sitting in the towers, that's watching for what's taking place and ready to blow the trumpet and to sound the warning and to rally around the call. That's what we need. Is that tough to do? Is that difficult to do? Yeah, it is. And I will tell you why it's difficult to do. Because sometimes in doing that and getting to that point and getting to that position, here's where we find ourselves a lot of times in this. Here it is. Are you ready? It might put us over to the side. Well, we're not like everybody else is. And we're not doing everything everybody else is doing. Folks, listen to me. Sometimes not doing what everybody else is doing, sometimes that's the thing that we ought to be doing. Folks, listen to me. Don't be afraid to take a stand on the Word of God. Dads, moms, don't be afraid to take a stand on the Word of God. To use the Word of God out of love and out of a point of example to live out in front of our... Folks, listen to me. Our kids today, if for no other reason, our kids today need to know that there's a path out there and there's an example and there's a group of people that are going to rally around them and lift them up and hold them up and set the path for them. God help us that we don't do that. God help us that we don't set that path. God help us that we don't watch for them. God help us that we don't show that love and demonstrate the example of faith that we ought to be to them, that they see. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you. I pray for all of our young people, especially in the schools there. And I'm going to tell you something. I pray every day for nothing like what's happening around this country to find its way here. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I can handle it. How many of you parents right now sitting in this auditorium would be honest enough with me, your kids go to school today, that there's not a day goes by that you hope that they don't get home that evening, that they just make it home that evening? Huh? We're in America. Should anything like that take place? We're sending our kids to school. How about I go to the store? And preachers say, well, there's been murders for a lot of times. But have you ever seen it in the degree that we've seen it just within the last week within our own area, in our own community here? God, help us. Where are we? What's going on? What's taking place? Let me say this. You can take the Bible out of schools. You can take Ten Commandments out of schools. You can take prayer out of the schools. You can take it out from in front of the courthouse. I've been following this thing in Oklahoma between the Ten Commandments and this statue of Satan and all of this. And just trying to follow all of this. But I want you to think about something with me for just a moment this morning. Just because it's removed from visual sight in these places does not mean that it has to be taken out of our home. Just because we live in a world where a lot of this stuff is not seen today and it's not a part of our everyday life doesn't mean that it can't take place in our own homes. And I'm going to say that they can take prayer out of the public school all they want to, but you can't take prayer out of the heart of a child. And nothing says that child can't pray. Nothing says that that child can't read their Bible. Nothing says that that child cannot worship God. I'm going to say something. You need to teach it at home. See, there's a warning. Are you ready for the warning? Here comes the tough part. And here's the warning. Are you ready? When God ordained the home, guess what He gave you? He gave you the blueprint for it. See, it's when we don't heed the warning, when we don't allow this to be our standard, that's when difficulty comes. And the consequences that come as a result of that are what are so difficult. I'm going to tell you something. Everything around us is changing at a rapid rate. Don't you agree? It's changing. The landscape of the world is also changing. It's affecting the home today. That's where we are. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 2. I'm going to give you something to help you, okay? You say, well, Brother Robert, it sounds like things are just... We might as well go home and close the doors and pull the shades down and turn off the TV and wait on the apocalypse to come. No. I want to give you some help. Is the Lord going to return? Yes. Are things going to get progressively worse before He does? Yes. Do we have to worry? No. Should we be busy about the Father's business? Yes. Should we be a watchman for our own homes? Yes. So what are some of the things we can do? I want to give you the positive things we can do. Okay? Look at Proverbs chapter number 2. I want you to notice verse number 7. You ought to underline every one of these as I take you through the book of Proverbs. Okay? I'm going to give you several. All right? Verse number 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk how? Uprightly. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God, who giveth to all men liberally. Doesn't upbraid you. In other words, He doesn't beat you down when you come ask for the wisdom. In other words, well, you know, you wouldn't be in this position if you'd just come about 6 months earlier and asked me for this wisdom, I'd give it to you. Aren't you glad God doesn't do you that way? Huh? Go to chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through verse 7. And I want you to get a hold of how important this wisdom is. And I'm talking about godly wisdom here. I'm not talking about worldly wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. forsake her not, and she shall do what? She'll preserve thee. Love her, and she'll keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all of thy getting, get understanding. Listen, it's one thing to have knowledge. It is one thing to have knowledge. Matter of fact, I was listening to somebody. You know, I like to watch these trivia shows. Any of y'all watch these trivia shows? And I wonder, these people evidently have too much time on their hands, okay? Because how can some of them know so much of this trivia? I mean, they're pulling stuff out of there. I'm like, huh? How in the world would you ever know something like that? Knowledge is not what I'm talking. Hey, knowledge is good, but if you don't know how to take that knowledge and apply it in your life every day, it's not much good. It's called wisdom. Go to chapter 8. We're just going to walk through. I'm just going to walk through Proverbs, chapter number 8. I want you to notice verse 10 and verse 11. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared what? To it. Wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Do you think wisdom's important? Huh? Do you think that it is? Go to chapter 16. Let's flip over a few more pages. Chapter 16. Verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. Look down at verse 21. The wise in heart should be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips, or of the lips, increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Here comes verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning what? To his lips. So where are we today? We live in a unique world. Things getting any better? No. Things getting progressively worse. How many of y'all, when that 12-year-old walked into the middle school in Roswell, New Mexico, absolutely just shook you to your core? It should have. But let me tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid it's becoming such a common event today. Well, bless their heart. Folks, listen to me. What happens when it parks itself on the doorstep of your house? Huh? So what do? We need wisdom that comes from the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what we need today. We need homes today that will stand up and say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what culture has to say. But as for me and my house, we're going to follow the standard of the Word of God. That's what we need. But I'm going to tell you something, that's the hardest thing you'll do, is to make that choice to do that. But it'll be the greatest choice that you'll ever make in your life, is to allow God to be at the center where He belongs. Amen? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Father, as we look around at all of these statistics and we look around the world today, and Father, sometimes the question is asked, well, God, where are You? Father, I thank You today that You've not moved. You're still there. Father, You gave us Your Word. And Father, as the watchman set on the wall to watch, and when trouble would come, You'd blow the trumpet and the warning would go out. And Father, all of those that heard the trumpet would react then and act to the warning. Father, today, where we are, is the trumpet being sounded? Is the warning going out? God, I pray that You'd help us to be watchmen. To be watchmen set up on the wall, to be watchmen that set in the tower, to look over to look over the city and when trouble's coming. And the storms of life begin to beat upon the walls, the structure. We sound the warning. We rally together around the Word of God and around you. God, I pray this morning. I know there's some here that, Father, life has touched. I don't think there's anybody, Lord, in this auditorium today that has not been affected or touched by the affairs of this life and the world that we live in today. God, I ask you this morning, you just take them and you hold them close to you. Father, let them know that you know and you're concerned about them. But Father, we've also got to take in place and put action to all of that. To stand and to be counted faithful to what you've called us to do and to be. So God, I pray this morning during this time of invitation that if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because Father, that's where it starts. We'll not see change in a home or in a life unless a heart changes. That comes through making Jesus Christ the center of your heart and life. God, I pray this morning that if there's one here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they'd come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, help them to understand and realize that, they're a sinner and they need salvation. They need Jesus Christ because they have a debt they can't pay on their own. But you came and paid it in full. And Father, all we've got to do is accept it and receive it. Father, just admit that we're a sinner, that we need Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is who He said that He is. And that He died in my place. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again. He's seated at your right hand today making intercession for us. God, I pray that you'd help that one that's here today. And Father, whatever the need is, I pray that today they would come to take care of that.